السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. وقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا واتقوا الله إن الله شديد العقاب. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى. قالوا: يا رسول الله، ومن يأبى؟ قال: من أطاعني دخل الجنة، ومن عصاني فقد أبى، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسول النبي الكريم. Respected brothers and sisters, as we know, today is the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. Throughout the Muslim world, Muslim Ummah are celebrating the blessed birth of final messenger of Allah, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But as far as the date of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned, there is no authentic proof that our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was exactly born on 12th of Rabiul Awwal. There are more than 10 different opinions. Some of the historians say he was born on the 2nd of Rabiul Awwal. Some of them say he was born on the 8th of Rabiul Awwal. Some of them say he was born on the 10th of Rabiul Awwal. And then majority goes to the 12th. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His mercy and wisdom, has hidden the Mubarak birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Islam is a perfect religion and we should not follow any other custom or religion activities to celebrate the Mubarak birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As far as years in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born is confirmed, that he was born on the Amul Fil, on the year of elephant, just the year when the Abraha, the governor of Yemen, attacked on Kaabatullah with the intention to destroy the Kaabatullah. And first time the Arabs saw the elephant, they never seen elephant, this such a huge animal before. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His grace and miraculous power and kudrat, destroyed the elephant's army, including Abraha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil, alam yaj'al kaydahum fi tadlil, wa arsala alayhim tayran ababi, tarbihim bi hijarati min sijil, فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. Small little birds holding the pebbles in their beak and in the jaws, and they're throwing like a bomb, uranium bomb. So that incident took place 6 months prior to the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why that year was known amongst the Arabs as a year of elephant. So that year was confirmed. As far as month, there are several riwayat that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned that he was born in Rabiul Awwal. That is also confirmed. As far as day in which our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, that is also confirmed by historians and several riwayat from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, or some Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we found you are always fasting on Monday. Why are you fasting on Monday? Why you have selected this day of the week? So Rasulullah ﷺ informed that I was born on Monday. So to appreciate my birth, I am fasting every Monday. And the first revelation in Cave of Hira also revealed upon Rasulullah ﷺ was Monday. Prophet ﷺ started migration from Makkah Mukarramah. The journey started on Monday. And Rasulullah ﷺ reached to Medina Munawwara also was Monday. So Monday is very important and significant day in the life of our beloved Rasulullah ﷺ. So that's why always he used to fast every Monday. So day also confirmed. Only the difference is the date. As I mentioned, there are several opinions. And why is this? Because the first historian, Ibn Ishaq, like he wrote the Seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in written form first time after 200 years of the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in between the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the historian has written the book of Seerah, Ibn Ishaq, is about 200 years of gap. So this writer haven't seen any Sahabi, any Tabi'i, any Tabi'in. So that's why whatever he has written in his book, there is no authenticity, there is no proof. He did not mention the narrations of the Sahaba or the Tabi'i, how he got this 12 of our Rabiul Awwal. And because he was a famous historian, so afterwards, whoever wrote the history or the Seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he picked from that source of Ibn Ishaq, and that's how this 12th of Rabiul Awwal became well known and famous. But as I said, there is no evidence of a fixed date of the 12th of Rabiul Awwal is the real death of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken away his soul, Mubarak soul, was 12th of Rabiul Awwal. And that is confirmed. That is confirmed. Because logically, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, he was born as yatim, as orphan. His father already passed away prior to his birth. Then his mother also passed away. In those days, in Arab, there was no calendar system. And no one knew that this newborn baby, whose name was Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is going to be the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the age of 40. No one knew at that time when he was born. So he was born as a yatim. No one cared about to write it down his date of birth. So that's one of the solid reason that his date of birth was not written and is not recorded anywhere, because no one knew that he is going to be the Prophet of Allah. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away at the age of 63, there were more than 124,000 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum already embraced Islam. So the date of demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is written and narrated by several Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, because they already seen the Mubarak death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is 12th of Rabiul Awwal and was also on Monday. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coincide the Mubarak birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the same month of Rabiul Awwal, in the same day, the Monday, and the date was 12th of Rabiul Awwal. So it doesn't make sense to celebrate the Miladun Nabi and take out the, you know, julus and do the lightning and this and that, because that is the day where Rasulullah SAW departed from this dunya. How we can celebrate the demise of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? It's not matter of joy, it is matter of sadness. How we can celebrate it? How we can cook the foods and distribute and enjoy and sing the Naad and all these things? So this, how it came into the Islam, Because that is the ulama explained, that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want that the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be celebrated. And that is why he has hidden the date of birth. No one knew. Later on, the first time Fatimids, the rulers of Egypt, in about first time celebration of Miladun Nabi took place in 517 after Hijrah, meaning after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, almost 5 centuries passed, and within these 5 centuries, 500 years, there is no evidence, single evidence in Arab or Muslim world that any Sahabi, any Tabi'i, any Tabi' Tabi celebrated the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the name of Miladun Nabi. Although the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ma'in were more loved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam compared to us, they sacrificed their life to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and none of them celebrated the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the name of Miladun Nabi. Only Fatimids, and they are Shias, they started first time in Egypt in 517 after Hijrah. And then in our Sunni world, it started first time in Iraq, which is called Mosul, outskirt of Baghdad. There is another city, Mosul, also a historical city. The governor of Mosul, his name was Erbil Salahuddin, he celebrated first time the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in 670 after Hijrah. When 7 centuries passed, 670 years after Hijrah, and this is what the first time the in Sunni world, in Sunni Muslim world, the 12th of Rabiul Awwal was celebrated as the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Up till there was no evidence, there is no any event during the time of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Khairul Qurun, time of Tabi'i radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Tabi'i Tabi'in. All these Khairul Qurun, none of them celebrated the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is why our ulama said, if you really love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you claim that you are Ashiq Rasul, then you should fast on Monday. This is the actual sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to fast on Monday. That's how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to celebrate his birthday, by fasting on Monday. So those people who are celebrating, they are not fasting. They don't even pray salat. When they celebrate, go out, enjoy, and they miss the prayer. So this is a misconception. Why it happened and enter into the Islam? Because people used to celebrate the Christmas and celebrating from before the prior to Rasulullah's last birth on the December 25th, which is also wrong, but that's how it became famous in the whole world. 25th of December, Christmas, everywhere they are celebrating. So these governors and these rulers said, when the Christian people are celebrating the birth of their prophet Jesus, why we should not celebrate our prophet's birthday? So just, comparing the birth of Jesus, they started celebrating birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They shouldn't do it, because Islam is the pure religion. Islam is the perfect religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, inna deen inda Allah al-Islam, wa man yabtagh ghayra al-Islam deenan falan yuqbala minhu. Whoever will follow any tradition, any custom, any culture other than Islam, which is not taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, or not taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his practical life, then we should not adopt from the different religion. We don't need to adopt it. They let them celebrate the birthday of Jesus. We should not celebrate the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it is not proven by our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ma'in. There is no sawab, there is no reward in this kind of wrong conception. The real true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in practical life. That's why the great scholar of India, Shaykhul Islam Hazrat Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was the rector and principal of Darul Uloom Deoband for 50 years. In one of his bayan, he explained very nicely. He said, there are two kinds of birth of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One is his physical birth. He was born by Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha on Rabiul Awwal on Monday in Makkatul Mukarramah. And that is his physical birth. He actually came in this dunya as a human being. But in that Mubarak birth, a lot of miracle took place, no doubt about it. The whole house was, you know, illuminated, and Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha seen the palaces of Syria and Rome, and all this happened, it happened. We're not denying. All those miracles happen. And it's a real very big event in the history of mankind, the Mubarak birth of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is a matter of rejoice. And ahadith full with the appearance, physical appearance of our Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is written. Every minute detail has been mentioned in the book of ahadith, how handsome Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, because Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala never created any human being more handsome and beautiful than our Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No comparison. He was one single piece. That's why ulama even explained his beauty was more than Hazrat Isa, Hazrat Yusuf Alayhi Salam's beauty. Because among the prophets, the beauty of Yusuf Alayhi Salam is well known. He was a very beautiful person. When the women of Egypt saw him, they cut their fingers, the famous incident, right? And it's mentioned in the Holy Quran. So it's not fairy tale, it exactly happened. Because Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Holy Quran the whole incident of the women of Egypt. So we believe in that. That was the beauty of Yusuf Alayhi Salam. But the beauty of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is much more than even the beauty of Hazrat Yusuf Alayhi Salam. The Mubarak finger of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Mubarak hair of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Mubarak hands and palms of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is no comparison. Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that one day Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, my beloved Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was sleeping on my lap, and there was a night of full moon, open air, and he was just resting on my lap, and there was a full moon on the sky. So suddenly I look at to the full moon, and then I look at to the Mubarak face of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then I look at to the moon, then I look at to the Mubarak face of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and I was comparing who is more beautiful, the full moon on the sky or Mubarak face of my Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Finally, my heart decided there is no comparison with the Mubarak face of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to this moon. Moon is nothing, beauty of moon is nothing compared to the Mubarak face of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there is no comparison in beauty of our beloved Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who is the most beautiful, most handsome person ever born on the surface of the earth. But there is no sunnah for us to follow. No one can have the face like face of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the finger of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Mubarak hair of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was physical limbs and beauty of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we cannot follow anyway in that regard. So the Sheikh said that was the physical birth of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which took place on the 571 CE in Makkah Mukarramah in the house of Hazrat Amina, physical birth. But after 40 years of his age, is another birth took place. After 40 years, he appeared as the final Rasul of Allah, Sayyidul Mursaleen, Khatimul Nabiyyin, Imamul Anbiya, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That was the birth of Muhammad Rasulullah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And before that, there was a Muhammad ibn Abdullah. For there is no thing to follow in Muhammad ibn Abdullah, but real sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he became Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him nubuwwah and granted him the prophethood and made him his final messenger. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Holy Quran for the guidance of the whole of mankind till the Yawmul Qiyamah. His Risalat, His Sharia, His Sunnah will continue until the Yawmul Qiyamah. Now our salvation is only lying in obeying the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our daily life. This is what we are answerable for. That our every aspect of the life should match with the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Holy Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That in the lifestyle of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find a perfect example to follow. Now in the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is what required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if you want to be successful in this world, and if you want to be successful in hereafter, and you want that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become pleased with you and forgive all your sins, what ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the Holy Quran? قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. If you are claiming that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah is your creator, your sustainer, my condition is this: before you love me or claim my love, you have to love my beloved Habibullah, Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you start loving him, then only I'll forgive you and I start loving you. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ. Whoever follow the footsteps of beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is actually following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. That you must obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way shown by our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then and then only you will be forgiven and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show and shower His mercy on the day of Qiyamah. So our 24 hours life should match according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is actually ita'ah. That is actually obedience. And that is actually love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhi majma'in used to die for one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our dealings, if we are businessmen, look at the businessmen of Syria, the caravan leader of the Syria, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, as a father, you see the father of Hazrat Fatima and Zainab and Umm Kulsum. As a husband, you see the husband of Hazrat Khadija, Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha. So, as a leader, if every aspect of the life, you will find the perfect example to follow in the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands from us as a Muslim, as the ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that our walking, our talking, our sleeping, our eating, every action of our life should be according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then our entire life can become a ibadah. What is the ibadah? Ibadah is meaning the obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you are sleeping with the dua in the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to sleep, you are sleeping, but you are regarded as the ibadah. Whole night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you the reward because you follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the action of the sleeping. You are eating to fill your own stomach, right? But if you eat with Bismillah ar-Rahman, eat with the right hand, eat from your side, and think and have the niyyah that I'm eating according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your eating becomes ibadah. You are going into the toilet becomes ibadah. We regard our ibadah only praying salat or reciting the Quran. No. In our daily actions, whatever we are doing, we just have to divert our attention and make the niyyah, oh Allah, I want to try to adopt and imitate
the Mubarak Tariqah and Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in my, you know, daily life. So your every action, getting married is the great Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Fulfilling your desire with your wife, the great Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every aspect of your life, which is you are required to do it. But only thing, you should not be unmindful before you do any action of dunya. Just make the niyat, I want to do according to the tariqah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That act of dunya becomes ibadah. Allah will get the reward for that. You are eating according to sunnah, you will get the reward for that. Using toilet according to sunnah becomes ibadah. Sleeping becomes ibadah if you follow the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's why in one of the hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has declared, La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yakuna hawahu taba'an lima jiktu bihi. Hukama qala Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. None of you can be a true believer. Even you claiming by your tongue, you are, you know, proclaiming whole life, there is no value. There is no proof. La yu'minu ahadukum. None of you can be a true believer until and unless his desires subservient to the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then and then only your iman will be perfected and accepted by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Another hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. None of you can be a true believer until and unless I become more beloved to him than his own father, than his own children, than whole of mankind. When it comes to the matter of comparison between the love of father and love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should be higher than the love of the father, love of the children, love of wife, love of anything. And Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, there is no time to go in detail. So many incidents, full with the book of history and seerah, Hayatul Sahaba and stories of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala alayhi wa jama'in. One incident, how Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum devoted their lives for the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to follow the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Truly, from the deep of the heart, not just lip service. Today we are claiming, oh, we are Ashik Rasul. Look at our life. Look at our appearance. Look at our dress code. Look at our practical life. How many times you come to the masjid and you claiming you are Ashik Rasul? Which kind of claim is that? Is this lip service with no value whatsoever inside of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? After Fathul Makkah, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala father, Abu Quhafa, was very old. He did not embrace Islam throughout his life. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala migrated Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know. After Fathul Makkah, whole of Makkah embraced Islam, including Abu Sufyan, Hinda, Wahshi, and all those enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who tortured and troubled Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prior to the Fathul Makkah. After the Fathul Makkah, conquest of Makkah, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu brought his old father, Abu Quhafa, in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the hidayah to my father and he wants to embrace Islam. Please accept, please make him Muslim. You want to recite the kalima on your hand. Look at Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala brought his old father, blind father, he became blind at that time. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam happily was embracing and forgiving everyone. La tasriba alaykum al-yawm wa antum at-tulaqa. General amnesty for everyone. Whoever troubled me, there is no revenge today. Al-yawm yawmul marhama. Today the day of mercy. No revenge whatsoever will take place or will be taken from anyone. Everyone is forgiven. So now he came in the majlis of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Bakr Siddiq holding his hand, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took his hand in his Mubarak hand and recited Kalima. And then Abu Quhafa followed him and he also recited Kalima. in that old age. The moment he completed his kalima, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu started crying. He burst out. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "Ya Abu Bakr, this is the day of joys. This is the day of happiness that finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted hidayat to your father and he embraced Islam before he died. Inshallah, I hope for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will be with you in Jannah. You should rejoice, you should enjoy." Say, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I am thinking of your uncle Abu Talib. How much you tried when he was dying from bottom of the heart that he must just whisper one time kalima in your ear. How much hardly you were trying. And he did not recite it kalima. He was not in his taqdeer. And he died without reciting kalima. And that moment when he left this world without reciting kalima, how much of sad you were. How much of sorrow and anxiety you were feeling at the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to reveal the ayat, innaka la tahdi man ahbabta walakin Allah yahdi man yasha. Oh my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you also cannot guide to anyone else. His guidance is only and solely exclusively in my hand. I decide and I grant the guidance and hidayat to whom I wish. You as Rasul of Allah, balligh anni wa lahu. You know, fadhakkir fa innaka anta muzakkir. Your job, your duty is just to remind them. To give the guidance and hidayat is not in your hands, it's in my hands. I kept it exclusively for me. I have not written hidayat for Abu Talib, no matter what he has done to you, your favor, but hidayat was not written. That's why he couldn't recite the kalima. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was crying because he said, if your uncle Abu Talib would recite a kalima, will make me more happy than today my father reciting the kalima. La yu'minu ahadukum hatta akun ahabba min walidihi. You cannot be a true believer until I become more beloved to you than your own father. Father accepted Islam and is entitled to go Jannah is not making Abu Bakr Siddiq happy. Why? He's thinking of his beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His uncle did not accept Islam. That was a comparison between the love of Allah, love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the love of anyone else, my beloved. So how I have proven that love? May Allah give us tawfiq to understand and give us tawfiq to make itaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our every aspect of life. Allah.